All right, welcome in, everyone. Just another sports podcast, episode number 4.
Colin, get off your phone. We're doing a podcast.
How about those Cleveland Cavaliers, eh?
Yeah.
Really? That's where we're starting?
No, we're not going to start there, but a little tease, because LeBron James is congratulating himself.
Is that what that's a copy of
yeah,
right there?
Yeah, I have.
I haven't even seen it.
I'm going to do a dramatic reading of LeBron's. We need to find some soft music, some twinkling piano or something like that on someone's phone.
Speaking of which, did you guys hear that Kobe Bryant might be up for an Oscar
yeah.
for his yeah. Dear Basketball poem?
Yeah, yeah. Which sounds ridiculous. Maybe LeBron was inspired. He
probably
heard that news and was inspired to congratulate himself on Instagram. So we'll get into that and all the drama and turmoil with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But
we should have some fart music for that one.
We should. Oh, man. We're off to a great start. All right.
Okay.
So, but let's start with the NFL where yeah. we normally start.
Where else would we start?
Yeah. And lots of talk in recent years about why are NFL ratings declining? Is it the player safety issue? Is it?
Wait a second. How are we? We spent a half an hour last week on the NFC game.
I already told you where I want to start.
He's the host.
Okay. I'm just saying.
All right. So is it the player safety issue? Is it the national anthem? Well, NFL ratings might be declining because the Patriots are just too darn dominant. I mean, are the Patriots and their dynasty and their success, is it hurting the NFL? Are people just getting bored because they know the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl?
I will say this in response to that. This Super Bowl does nothing for me. Philadelphia, New England. And I don't know if that speaks to what you just said, Greg. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I'm not excited. I would have been if Minnesota won just because of the connection to you, Josh.
Plus the home field
and
thing.
The home field,
there was
yeah.
a neat angle there.
But there's something about this where I – and you know what? I was following the game, the Jacksonville New England game, on my phone. I didn't watch it. I had to. Just
were you
sort
at a
bar?
Were you at a bar somewhere?
No, if I was at a bar, I'd be watching.
Well,
it.
True.
And when I saw who had the ball and what was going on, and even when it was 2010 in the second, you just had this feeling to me. Now, of course, like I said, I wasn't watching this. I'm interested to hear your opinions on it. There was no drama for me, even when they were down. Like I thought. They're going to find a way. And you guys were texting, too, in the group message about, oh, well, of course this is going to happen. There was no – even though it was a comeback, even though it was late, even though it could have slipped away, there was no drama for me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. They were trailing in the fourth quarter, and there was no point where I was nervous about the Patriots potentially losing that game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, things started happening the way they normally happen, where, like, all of a sudden Jacksonville couldn't move the ball. They were punting it back to Tom Brady, and, you know, and he was just finding whoever it was that happened to be out there on the field because Gronkowski was out, you know, so he just turns to the next guy and starts, you know, sending passes Amendola's way, and bingo, bango, they're in the end zone twice. I mean, it was so clear what was going to happen. I mean,
but that was my feeling going into the game, though. I mean, I felt the Patriots were gonna win and find a way to win going into the game. So,
I think,
but you last week said you felt the Jags had a chance.
I
to
did.
Win.
I yeah. thought I sounded really smart for about 3.5
and,
quarters.
But when did that feeling start to change, though?
I saw it was 22-10, and then where did it go from there? Was it 2017?
Yeah.
Okay. When I saw it go to 2017, I said that's it.
Well, we didn't answer Greg's
yeah,
question.
Yeah, the question about long way around to it. If the Patriots win, I think we're all expecting them to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
So. Does that make me think I need to see this Super Bowl? And this is somebody who likes to see the Patriots win. You know, we've talked about this before. I like to see their ex. I mean, it's insane. Tom Brady's 8th Super Bowl in 16 years. We're never going to see this again. I think we're in definite take it for granted mode, or at least I am.
There's fatigue outside of Massachusetts.
To your point, Greg. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, I think it's possible. I really do that because there's no parity in the NFL. I think that does turn people off because they've gone from being hated to being boring.
Right, exactly. And that's my point. Is that hurting NFL ratings? That people are just saying, it's going to be the Patriots anyways, so why even bother?
No, I still think there's going to be a huge audience of people that are simply going to tune in to see if they lose.
Yeah.
Just like it was just like it was with any of Floyd Mayweather's fights. At yeah. some point in his career, people that's the only reason people bought his fights, mm-hmm. was because they wanted to see him get his butt kicked. There's potential for it to happen. Like, let's not completely discard the Eagles here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
it's
but
not, it's not just the Super Bowl, though. I mean, the Super Bowl, people tune in for the halftime show. They tune in for the ad. So you can't measure it just by the halftime show. You have to take the whole sample size of the season. And what I'm suggesting is people just feeling that it's inevitable the Patriots yeah. are going to win. Is that keeping them away on, okay. On an average Sunday
well,
is what I'm at. Not my question is not, are people going to watch the Super Bowl? They will watch the Super Bowl.
Are you saying that you're wondering how much the Patriots' dominance is contributing to the drop in ratings?
Yes,
I think there's something to that. I really do.
Well, yeah, that's what I just said, too. I think it's possible, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right.
So there's your answer.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're just going to answer? I mean, no.
Keep asking yes or no questions.
You're a journalist. You should know better.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just that feeling of inevitability. I mean, it's a new hero every week for the Patriots.
Well, but is it, though? There's it only is. One real hero, and well, it's Tom Brady.
True, and he's the guy that makes everything go, but one week it's freaking Chris Hogan. The next weekend, it's Danny Amendola. Gronkowski's out. Edelman's out. I mean, they always find a way to get it done, and all of their moves always work. The defensive play of the game was turned in by Stephen Gilmore at the end of the game there on Jacksonville's last drive. He was a free agent pickup from Buffalo.
And I think he had, like, a terrible stretch of play, especially early in the season where Gilmore was getting toasted, mm-hmm. if I remember, especially in the, right. I know in that but Chiefs
part
game.
Part of that awful defense.
Yeah.
They were
early,
very
early
defense.
On.
Right. They lose defensive players. They look horrible defensively. It just none of
oh,
it,
speaking of which.
None of it matters with them.
Speaking of which, Colin and I were talking about this. Name five players on New England's defense.
Right. I mean,
can you?
Is Patrick
James Harrison.
Is Patrick Chung? Right. is he still playing? Right. I mean,
Teddy Bruschi.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
They traded.
Darrell
they traded,
Revis.
Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, wasn't there a question that you were going to broach about the Patriots? And I think this is one reason why people will. Tune in crazy high numbers for the Super Bowl. It's what happens now after this one. So say they win it, right? Mm-hmm. Is this it?
Yeah.
Because of this turmoil that they've quashed.
Well, that's what it's funny that you bring that up now, because that's where I was going to go next. And we had talked about this earlier in the week. What made the Patriots interesting again this year? The turmoil. You know, we talk about them being boring and dominant. Is that turning people away? Well, they're not so boring if they're infighting. And it's so hard for me. I don't know why, but it's hard for me to see them come back after what's happened. You know, and they probably will. You know, I doubt they break it up. But at some point, Tom Brady he's going to be 41 next year. And everybody's waiting for it to fall off. We all know Belichick doesn't really want him, at least if we believe some of this reporting. This could be the very final one. I mean, I saw some clips of the trophy presentation, the AFC trophy presentation. They didn't seem particularly happy. They never do.
Well, right.
But it wasn't like.
Did you see my tweet? Like, do Patriots fans, do they buy the Super Bowl shirts or just when the AFC championship game is particularly compelling or interesting?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
what a problem to have.
Yeah.
I think.
I read something the other day about how teenagers in New England think that, like, the Super Bowl is not a
right.
It's like
it's
something that happens
yeah, right. yeah, exactly.
every year. It's nothing
right.
special.
Well, I think, and that brings me back to what I said a couple minutes ago. I think we're in definite take for granted mode with this. It's unprecedented, and you can't think in our lifetime we're going to see somebody make it to eight Super Bowls and for one team as a starter. Because this is
yeah.
all this is as a starter. This is not.
Yeah. You're not going to see a coach go to 10.
No.
Belichick has been to 10 Super mm-hmm. Bowls.
Yeah, and Kraft and Brady and Belichick have been together for almost 2 decades now.
Well, 16 years.
I think it's 18, actually.
Well, as a starter, I think. Okay. As a starter for Tom Brady.
But even Montana, DeBartolo, and Walsh, that lasted 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost double the length of that, and that's like NFL – and those – that partnership is NFL legend in itself.
If I'm the Patriots and I win this, I go away.
Yeah,
I do.
But I can see that.
It's not that Belichick doesn't want Brady. He wants Brady, but he was willing to move on from Brady, and I think that's where the turmoil started.
I agree.
Because he was willing to trade him if he had to go to Garoppolo.
And that's why I think, even though I've said I don't believe it will happen, numerous times. I think that Belichick could walk away after this one because there is no successor in place for Tom Brady right now. Yeah. That's a huge deal when you're talking about a guy who's going to be 41 years old next year. Granted, he hasn't taken a step back.
That is the real head scratcher. Why did they get rid of their two decent backup quarterbacks?
Well, so so this goes into the point that I was bringing up to you earlier, Josh, earlier this week. Both of their coordinators, their defensive and offensive coordinators, they're leaving for head coaching jobs. So Bill Belichick is going to be faced with a crossroads. He's going to either have to say, I'm going to stick around for another 2 or 3 years as he grooms another set of coordinators to get other jobs and fail somewhere else because that's what they always do. But he's either going to say, if he's back next year, he's going to be there for 2, 3, 4 years because of that. I could definitely see him say, I just don't want to do this anymore here. If there's one person who leaves, I don't think Brady would leave. I think it's Belichick, to your point, Josh, too. I think he would go just because I don't think he has any real loyalty to the Patriots in a weird way. Of course, he has his share, but not in the way that people might think. Joe Montana played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, everybody thought he was a San Francisco 49er for life. These things happen.
Belichick's like a droid. Yeah. Man, he really is. Yeah. He's like a football droid.
And he probably wants to coach until the day he dies. He's that kind of person. He seems to be that wired. With the dysfunction this year and with his coaches going, maybe he's not back.
I don't believe – where is he going to find a better situation?
Maybe he's just done.
He built that situation in New England, though.
Right.
So he can go build another situation somewhere else.
It's not that I disbelieve the reporting. I believe there was some friction and some discord with the Patriots this year. I just don't think there's any reason for any of them to leave or for it to be broken up. I mean, it's clearly still working, no matter what pieces they plug in. So I don't see it breaking up. Where's Belichick going to go coach? Damascus. I mean, we've joked. One of the high schools. Indianapolis.
Maybe he just walks away from it. Bill Cowher did it. Now he wasn't, nearly as successful over the, in terms of Super Bowls and stuff. But Bill Cowher was a guy who walked away from it.
Yeah, I don't see Belichick going into the booth.
I don't know. That's not going to happen. Yeah. But here's a guy who it doesn't appear that he has any health issues that anybody knows about.
Not that anybody, so,
right? Anyone would ever find out about that anyway? But. I could see him just saying, you know what? The run is over.
Of course, if they lose with the dysfunction reports too, like I think that's a big crack in the
arm. A couple of things, though. I mean, Brady says he wants to play into his mid 40s, and he seems intent on proving that.
Brady's not going anywhere,
right? So why would Belichick walk away from Brady? Is my question?
Because he hates him.
I don't think he does.
It's got to end sometime.
No, yeah. I know. And the thing you have to keep in mind with the Patriots is they do things unconventionally. I mean, just when you think something's going to happen, the opposite happens, or they do something that no one expects. So, or they trade one of their best players, or they sign a player that no one would have thought they would have signed. So yeah, I mean, they're an unpredictable team, and what you guys could be saying is right, but I just don't see anyone walking away because I don't think they have reason to, and I don't think they hate. I don't think they're at each other's throats and hate each other that much. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I guess we'll see. I'm interested to see how Brady's hand heals.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, they even turned that into an issue when I mean, it was an issue. But that was
so bizarre. Before the game, everybody in the Patriots organization did something they never do, which is talk about it. They were like, even Belichick was like, oh, well, and he's actually giving real answers. So then they win the game, and like Jim Nance or somebody interviews him afterwards about Tom Brady's hand. He's like, oh, we won.
Yeah.
I don't.
Guess it wasn't an issue.
He said it wasn't like open heart surgery or anything like that. So, but they made it. All they had to say was he has a cut on his hand. Yeah. No one would have thought that much of it.
Yeah. He came into the press conference his last press conference before the game. He's wearing two gloves. I love that. He's not just wearing one on his right hand. He's wearing gloves on each hand, so nobody would be able to see the hands and make a judgment at which one, how different
they could be. They were feeding the mystery. Yeah, they were keeping it alive. All they had to say was he has a cut on his hand.
I think it was manufactured.
I totally agree with that.
Right, yeah, because it has the media, they're off in their own little space talking about something that has nothing to do with the game. Yeah.
You mentioned Jim Nance. We snickered about the scene there at the end of the game when Tom Brady was done his interview with him and he like patted Jim Nance on the belly. Yeah. Did you see that, Colin? Oh my God, it was hilarious.
I wonder how Peyton Manning felt about that because he and Nance were particularly close.
First of all, it was like Nance was like all up in his face, like he was like close talking with him, like he was ready to kiss him,
like Gary Thorne.
Yeah, exactly.
Open with hello, friends.
He did actually, not at the interview, but at the beginning of the game, and then at the end of it, Brady like patted him on the belly in a very odd move, which it was hilarious.
Well, so there was also another game.
Yeah, there was. I only watched half of it.
Yeah. Josh was watching The Bachelor.
Is that a game or a scrimmage?
That literally happened, Greg. That is God's honest truth.
I totally believe it. But yeah, I mean, what happened to your team there, man?
That's what they do. Yeah, they picked a pretty bad time to have their worst defensive performance in 2 years, two plus years.
And that was it was the defense. Yeah. I mean, you knew Keenum was going to have a turnover too. Yeah. So I don't think that's what really killed him. That pick six got the Eagles into the game. You could say it changed the momentum and got the snowball rolling downhill onto the Vikings.
That's really what happened. Their defense was I said this to Colin the other day when we just started chit-chatting about it. They were out-coached. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson's game plan was great, and here's what I think happened. He probably saw the issues that team had with run-pass options, particularly against Carolina. That's who they had their biggest defensive letdown against. And that entire game was – every play was a run-pass option. They knew – the Vikings said it all week. We're gonna load it up. We're going to stop the run, and we're going to make Foles beat us. Well, he countered that by basically calling a bunch of run-pass options, knowing that the Vikings were going to sell out to stop the run, and then he threw on them. And Zimmer did not change. Zimmer didn't adjust, and that's one thing he's done in his tenure there is he's made, like, mid-game adjustments that have worked. He didn't do anything, and you could see the players were just befuddled. They didn't know what was going on. They weren't used to that kind of performance, and like you said, the snowball really just got rolling. And I think the play in particular that I thought was the killer, you mentioned the flea flicker to start the second half, which was certainly the dagger that really ended it. But the play where Foles got hit in the arm twice, Everson Griffin came around the left tackle, hit him in the arm. Danielle Hunter came from the other side and hit him in the arm. He took a step back and then launched that touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey.
And that's luck. And there's your horrible Vikings karma coming back to bite.
They gave him 8 seconds to throw the ball, and Alshon Jeffrey's wide open down the field. It was at that point I saw that, I was like, this game is over. Like,
right. That was
it's once, not their
once
day.
It became like 28-7.
It's not their day.
I mean, going into halftime, he felt the game was over.
Yeah, right. And I had a couple.
I had hope.
Yeah. Well, I stopped watching it. I literally turned it off after, I guess, Thielen had like a non-touchdown catch in the end zone that was reviewed. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm done with it. I can't sit here and watch this. I'm not kidding you. Like I said to my wife, I was like, I need to watch something uplifting here. Let's watch something funny. And we turned on The Bachelor because we have that on DVR, and I think that's a hilarious series. So we started – I'm not kidding you. My team is playing an NFC Championship game, and I was watching The Bachelor. That's how bad that day was.
That's a bad day.
So here's a question, and I wrestle with it too, and I broached it with you guys the other day. What is worse? Is it the soul-crushing – last second, how do they lose this game? Defeats, or is it just the games where they're totally outclassed and outplayed?
I wanted to watch a whole game. Like, okay, I wanted to see my team in it, and I wanted to see them try to get there, even if they missed another field goal in crushing fashion. I wanted to see that. I did not want to see them get blown out like they did in 2001 against the Giants when they lost 41-0.
Right.
So I would say
you think those are worse.
Yeah, they are worse. Like, and the other thing is, I'm conditioned to the soul-crushing near misses. So another one would have been no big deal.
It would have been a big deal,
but I would have gotten over it.
You've only been predicting it all season.
Yeah,
so
that's true, I did. But there is a couple of things that I took away from this as a fan. And it's like, Colin and I talk about all the time, like just growing as people and like as we get older, like things that change within us and like how we can see how we're different now. The funny thing is about this one, I wasn't like as upset as I thought I was going to be, even while it was happening. I was just literally like, you know what? They're not going to win it. And if they didn't win it this year, they're never winning a Super Bowl. It's never happening, ever. Because this was the year we said, I laid out all the scenarios last week. It was, you know, with the guys that didn't make the playoffs, with it being in a home field, would have been a home field
now
Super
you have
Bowl.
A decision on Keenum. Do you pay him or
right.
not?
They, right. The They've defense,
three
was,
quarterbacks
the defense was the top ranked defense in the NFL. They got where they got with a backup quarterback.
Now they're losing their
everything was laid
here.
Out. Right. Shermer's gone. The magic is gone. This was the year. So at that point, I was just like, you know what? I don't think they're ever going to win one, and I think I'm okay with that. And you know what I really felt bad about that I've never felt in all of the years that I've seen them blow it in key games? I felt bad for the players. I didn't care about, like, I wasn't like, man, this is embarrassing for me as a fan. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I'm not a part of the team. I'm not on the team. I'm just a guy who roots for them and wants to see them do well.
You don't say
and
we was, lost to the Eagles.
Right, or never.
We won the game.
No, I come into work and people are like, after the Stephon Diggs game, hey, congratulations. I'm like, I'm not on the team, but okay, thanks. Or they'll say, sorry about the loss. Like, I'm not on the team, but whatever. So, like, there was a shot of, I guess it was after the Jeffrey play, or maybe it was after the flea flicker touchdown to Torrey Smith, where it became 30, I think it became 31 to 7 at that point, where Harrison Smith, who to me is like the epitome of their defense and is probably one of the top three defensive players in the NFL, was just he was standing there. I caught a glimpse of him shaking his head and closing his eyes like, what the hell is happening? And I felt bad for him. And I've never in all the times, 98 when they blew it, 2009 when they blew it, I didn't feel bad for Favre. He was a mercenary. He was like, you know, they brought him in to win that Super Bowl. I didn't give a crap about his feelings. That year I was crushed because I was upset about it. But, you know, those players, man, they're a great team, and they're great guys, so I was kind of upset
for them. I mean, you checked out at the right time, because when Adam Thielen doesn't come down with a catch, you know it's not your day.
There are so many great individuals on that team. Like, they're great players, but by and large, I think you can say they're good people too, which, you know, you don't see a lot of. So I was kind of depressed for them more than anything.
So what was the level of angst watching that first half? Were you yelling and screaming, or were you just resigned? Something horrible
when they went up. When they went up 7-0 and then got a stop, I was like, whoa, we could have something here. And that all unraveled quickly with that Keenum pick six. And then I think they gave the ball right back to him, and Philly went down the field and scored again right away. And that's when I was just like, oh no, like the defense is – that doesn't look like the defense I've seen all season. So I really wasn't that, you know, that crazy into it, anxious, nervous. And then it was over so quick. Like, I was turning the page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just two dramatically different feelings. I mean, they're both horrible feelings. Like the gut wrenching near miss, and then the embarrassing lay down. We're getting blown out.
They
in a
gave
huge
up.
Game.
Yeah.
Right. I mean. Yeah. The soul-crushing defeat, you just feel like you're punched in the stomach and you're out of it for a couple of days, and you're just mad and you're feeling all sorts of things. A game like Sunday, though, you just want to go and find a corner, dark corner, and hide, bury your head in the sand. I mean, it's just too dramatically different feeling.
I got elation out of the Diggs play and that win, you know, and that's a feeling I'd never had before as a fan of that team. So,
right.
I'll take that.
So here we are in the Super Bowl, and you have the Eagles and the Patriots. And last year, the Eagles were sort of in the same position the Falcons were last year. I mean, no one was giving them a big chance to win the game, despite how good a season they had. And the Falcons were up 28-3 in the game. So can you foresee a scenario in a couple of weeks where the Eagles are giving it to the Patriots, and can the Eagles actually finish the job this time?
I don't see why they would have any better of a chance than Atlanta did to finish the job. If the Eagles got up 28-3 again, it's the same thing with Jackson. I don't see any reason to count out Tom Brady and the Patriots anymore after seeing that stuff with Atlanta. Plus, Nick Foles. I mean, the one thing I'll give Philadelphia is their defense. Obviously, if they're either 1-1A defense in the league with Minnesota, and that defense definitely showed up last week against Minnesota, and they are the exact type of defense that Tom Brady doesn't like. It's the, you know, they want to hit you in the face, which it's the Jacksonville defense, and that was the New York Giants defense when they beat the Patriots. So their defense really will be the point of contention for me when it comes to the Patriots, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't rattle off 21 straight points to come back in dramatic fashion. I don't see any reason to think that Philadelphia has a better chance.
I guess what I'm asking in a ham-handed way is, can you foresee the Eagles winning this game at all?
Yeah, I can foresee it.
I can.
Yeah, but I just don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the line is, but
five.
It
opened at 5.5.
Okay.
And the thing is, Belichick is not going to – you say Zimmer got out-coached. Belichick will not be out-coached.
That was going to be my next point.
By Doug, by, I mean, he'll make Foles look like Nick Foles.
Peterson has don't discount how much he means to what they've been able to do here.
I want to go back to Zimmer though for a second, however briefly. That a Mike Zimmer team does not give up like that. That's what surprised me the most.
I've seen it happen. Okay. And this reminded me of, I think what I said was, 2+ years. It's been 2+ years since they've had a defensive performance like that. The last time they did it was against Seattle at home when they were playing outdoors, and 2015 was the year that they blew the Blair Walsh missed the field goal. Mm-hmm. Like late in the season, Seattle came to Minnesota and just destroyed them by like 50 points, and they gave up in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, you know, things started, it was the exact same scenario. Things started like spin out of control early, and then it was done. But what I was going to say is, like, it's what I say every year when the Patriots make it, is like, you give Belichick 2 weeks to figure out a defense or figure out his schemes. Man, it's going to be really tough.
Nick Foles isn't going to play like he played against Minnesota.
Yeah, he really played well.
He was a great quarterback on Sunday. He really was.
That's the thing. People are like, oh, should the Eagles trade Foles? Or I mean, Foles has won as many games as Tom Brady has won playoff games.
And what does this season prove? But what does this season prove to you? It proves that you need two quarterbacks.
Right, yeah.
Look at Minnesota. Look at Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, so it proves, maybe it proves quarterbacks aren't as important as people thought. You know,
well, you need a good, you need a serviceable one. You need a couple of serviceable ones.
Blake Bortles was not a serviceable one. Everybody thought. Right. Same with Nick Foles. Same with Case Keenum.
It's got to be the perfect storm if you don't have the quarterback. I mean, the Eagles would never have been the number one seed. They would have never been in that position without Carson Wentz.
It has to be a defense-centric team if that's the way you're going
to
play it.
It's awfully hard to start Nick Foles next year if he ends up beating the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Will that be a question? No,
it's definitely going to be a question. That's how the media works. The fake media.
Fake news. The media. Right.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be talked about. It will.
It should be discarded immediately.
I agree with you, but it'll be talked about.
I mean, Nick Foles is an average quarterback that had a really good day. I still think he's an average quarterback.
Agreed.
I mean, if he's your backup, you have a good backup situation.
Maybe Carson Wentz gets healthy between now and the Super Bowl.
So he got hurt late in the season, so they might need Foles early.
That's true. Early next season.
So do you guys care about the stuff around the Super Bowl besides the game? Do you care about the ads? Do you care about the halftime show?
No.
I knew Josh was good. I was mainly
asking Colin because I figured that was going to be Josh's answer.
I always pay attention to the halftime, and I'm interested to see if Justin Timberlake has to bring out Janet Jackson.
Has to happen.
You would think so.
That will be worth – yeah.
It would be disappointing.
It'll be worth seeing how he there is going to be some kind of dig there about the nip slip. There has to be
like a wink and a nod in some way. Yes.
It wasn't even a true nip slip. We've talked about this before, but whatever.
But we got so, Greg, the official.
I'm hung up about the nip slip.
The expert on nip slips.
Yes, exactly.
And the commercials sometimes. The commercials are fine. It's like Black Friday shopping. All the commercials are released online before the Super Bowl. Now you can watch them. If there's one that's really interesting, people direct you to it. So
right. Okay. All right, so let's find out what's in Medusa's box this week, guys.
What could it be?
Yeah.
Let's open it up.
What's our...
We need some music because LeBron James hit 30,000 career points this week. I think he's one of 7 guys in the NBA history to do it.
He's surely not somebody to congratulate himself, is he?
Not at all. No? He even congratulated himself before he did it.
He wouldn't do that publicly, would he?
Never. I mean, so even if he was going to do this, which he did.
Greg has no idea how to respond to what I'm saying. Can you read the post?
Yeah.
Please. All right, Instagram, right? This is Instagram?
Oh, wait a minute. Since Instagram was mentioned here, you said a couple of weeks ago that your band saw its Instagram numbers spike in one day. Did you ever figure out a reason?
No. Okay. But we still have them. They haven't left.
Do they have all the followers of King James? And 1.2 million likes on any of your posts or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, try and beat this post. Okay. So this is LeBron congratulating himself.
I have a lot to say about this. So, go, Greg.
Want to be one of the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment / achievement tonight that you'll reach.
What?
Did you see this, Josh?
I did not. This is the first I've seen it. I've heard. He literally is congratulating himself.
Yes. He wrote. Yeah. This is a LeBron James post on Instagram before he even did it. So if you were gonna do this, why not wait until you actually did it before? All right. So, want to be the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment. accomplishment slash achievement tonight that you'll reach? Do we have some soft music you can play underneath
like,
this?
This needs like master's music. Right.
Only a handful has reached. Only a handful has reached slash. You gotta love LeBron's awesome grammar here. Only a handful has reached slash seen it too. And while I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, try, in parentheses, please try, to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it. The house you're about to be a part of has only 6 seats in it, in parentheses, as of now, but one more will be added, and you should be very proud and honored to be invited inside. There's so many people to thank who has helped you. There's so many people to thank who has helped this even become possible, parentheses, so thank them all. And when you finally get your moment, parentheses, alone to yourself, smile. Look up to the higher skies and say, thank you, in cap, and this is in all caps, thank you, exclamation point. So with that said, congrats again, young king.
Young
Whoa.
King.
Whoa.
One love, exclamation point, hashtag strive for greatness, hashtag the kid from Akron.
Hashtag rise and grind. Hashtag blessed.
We were
hashtag nip slip.
We were talking about this the other day. So, I mean, the stupid hashtags. But, yes, hashtag strive for greatness. Hashtag the kid from Akron. This is LeBron James. 1.2
hashtag not as good as Jordan.
Right. 1.2 million likes, 28,000.
Why would you like that?
So
what idiots go on Instagram and like, so here we go. I love this post by LeBron.
This,
like,
this was before he did it. So why not wait until you did it before you, actually hitting send on that?
I'm going to discard that right now for the sake of something else. Rarely does LeBron James seem tone deaf. I can think of one time, and that was the decision.
Yeah, right.
That he later acknowledged that and said this was a mistake. And since then, and I've talked about this on this podcast, I think he's handled everything really well. His celebrity really well.
I'm gonna intimidate
his influence.
You with LeBron.
Oh, I was looking
at
that the entire time flexing, you were reading.
So, yeah.
So I almost want to think that this isn't even real. Like, it was somebody who handles his Instagram account.
Not based on the grammar, because that's the way he talks. So
exactly. I love LeBron. LeBron's grammar is one of my favorite things about
but
him.
But did they have, like, a schedule? You know how, like, for our website, the Frederick News Post website, we schedule posts for certain times. Did they schedule this Instagram post because they thought by then he would have broken it? He didn't. They just forgot to not schedule it.
Think that is a possibility.
Well, I think that had to have happened.
Right, yeah, right.
So he looks dumb, and it's not just because he put that out before. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's asked him about it. I would hope somebody has by now, and I would love to hear.
I haven't seen his reaction to it if he's been asked about it.
That is
there's some other things going on with the Cavs that they're probably asking him about.
Like,
right now.
They suck right now. But that's
the other thing about this. This is going out in the middle of the Cavs falling apart at the seams too.
Kevin Love can't even get a hand up when he's right on the ground and no teammate goes over to help him.
Yeah,
up.
It's all Kevin Love's fault. Yeah. Apparently.
This feels tone deaf. It feels unreal from him. Somebody who has held everything together so well going back to Cleveland.
This makes you think, like, how much does LeBron think about?
I'm team Kyrie now.
you have been
all season, so.
But LeBron must.
This was clearly LeBron saying, like, if someone was going to write something about me, how would I want it to sound?
Well, doesn't it sound like he's, like, talking to his younger self or something?
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, I hate. They do that on the Players Tribune.
Well, and the picture that accompanies this this post is of him, like, in his high school. He's
it's
playing,
a good thing I don't read the Players Tribune.
I don't.
It looks like in the picture that accompanies this, it looks like he's, like, 14 years old. He's wearing his high school uniform, so he looks younger. But this is, like, how much time did LeBron spend thinking about, like, what would someone write about me if I
clearly hardly any. Did you not see the typos in the
true, but that makes it more authentic. That tells you LeBron wrote that because it was his grammar's horrible and it's
be
off,
more
it's off
careful
again.
LeBron be more careful. I don't know. I mean, it's a product of social. We started talking about social media, or at least I think over Twitter messages earlier, which maybe we'll get into.
So, are we opening Pandora? I mean, Medusa. Are we opening Medusa's box here? With our athletes going to be writing odes to themselves now more often. So
they honestly do that on the Players Tribune a bit. They want to write to their younger selves.
The Players Tribune is so stupid. It's one more reason for all of us to hate Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Right. And Colin.
Hate Derek Jeter? Never.
And Colin.
I hate Derek Jeter because of the Players.
Colin's more, way more plugged into the movie awards than we are. But should Kobe be up for an Oscar for his letter to himself?
No.
Well, how is that? Again, wait, did somebody made
no
a
question?
Film?
No.
Somebody made a film about that?
I'm a little blurry on the details, but this poem that he wrote, I think it's sort of a tangential.
It's similar to this.
Yeah, but his poem inspired something. I think it's sort of like because he once wrote a poem. It wasn't like he wrote it with the intention of it being involved with a movie. I think it's like a part of something, and that's why but I could be wrong.
Have you seen it? I mean, I haven't
seen it.
Okay. But it's up for an Oscar. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. It's annoying. I mean, LeBron get
LeBron
right.
will probably win a Pulitzer for that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes you shake your head.
Hashtag young king.
Hashtag strive for greatness.
Strive for greatness.
Hashtag Cavs are 3-10 since Christmas.
I know.
Right. I know. And not only that, they gave up 148. That's like they had like an all-star game on Saturday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder put 148 points on them. I mean, that just does not happen in a regular season game.
So I wanted to bring this up about LeBron. I almost sent it to you guys, and then I didn't because we always send so much to each other. Brian Windhorst said this. I want to know if you guys have heard this. He said this on a podcast last week. LeBron wants to play long enough to be able to play with his kid. He wants to be the first. And Brian Windhorst would know.
Wow. How old is his kid?
He's
though?
In eighth grade. So I don't know, 14, 15 or something. So he would obviously bypass college.
So LeBron's.
He would have to play 1 year in college. No?
Oh, yeah. Well, by that time, the rule will be changed. Right. No. Yeah, but he'll have to play 1 year in college, or unless if they, you know, LaMelo ball him and take him over to Turkey. And so let's give it 6 years, 7 years. And I definitely think
LeBron would be 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
legit.
Right now, that's LeBron's top priority. And if anybody would know, it's Brian Windhorst because he's always been the LeBron guy. So I think that's the most interesting thing happening right now because it does not matter where he'll end up next year. It does not matter if the Cavs win this year. Like, for all we know, they could win or lose this year. He ends up going to Los Angeles, which I don't think is going to happen anymore. I tend to think he might end up in Houston. At this point, but it's going to change 10 times between now and he loves Chris Paul. Like he's boys with Chris Paul. He goes away for another 3 or 4 years. He closes out his career in Cleveland. His kid's old enough to play. I think
he's going
to
come back to Cleveland again.
Oh, I could definitely see him.
There's so many like what ifs to that scenario though. Like,
I know.
Like LeBron's got to stay healthy into his later years.
But he's been healthy for what? 16. Has he been in the league 16?
Yeah. But so is Kobe until his freaking Achilles just blew out one day.
And then he wrote a poem about it. Now he's going to get an Oscar.
Yeah, so it's worked out. And his kid has to be – I mean, his kid's obviously going to be good, but is he going to be like one and
well,
done
his,
good?
Well, his kid
one
is
and done good,
like
so.
Supposed to be the best like middle school basketball player in the
– Right, but that's middle school basketball.
So is I at one point.
Right, yeah, exactly. So is he going to be one and done good to where – and he's got to be on the right – he's got to go to the right team. There's way too many variables for LeBron to be planning around that. I mean,
LeBron has the type of moxie to plan around something like that, though. I really
but
do.
He can't – there's so many variables he can't plan for it, though. I mean
– but he's thinking that's going to happen.
There's a draft lottery. What team does his – kid gonna get picked by?
Well, I'm sure. I don't know that he's planning for that. I'm sure it's in the back of his head. He's gonna play for. He's gonna play till he's 40. Look at him.
Yeah,
unless his body really breaks down and falls apart,
which could happen.
And he wants every record.
Yeah,
he wants them all. Like this 30,000 point thing. He wants 40. He's gonna want every record. He's gonna want more rings. He won't be able to get them, but he's gonna want more rings than everybody imaginable.
Name a father son. Duo that play not in the NBA, but name any others.
The Griffies.
Who else?
That's it.
Tim Raines.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, that happened with the Orioles.
Really?
Tim Raines played for the Orioles at the end of his career, and Tim Raines Jr. was brought up, and they were on the same team, 2001, I think. Huh.
Well, that was driving Rafael Palmeiro's desire to come back, because his son
is in the minor league system.
So do they want to be a father-son duo?
I think it's much more impressive in basketball, such a physical game like
that.
Right. Yeah, you would never think that would happen.
My prediction is LeBron will never play with his kid. There are too many factors.
You know what? If this podcast is going on in 7 years.
I will bet you a lunch. I will bet you a lunch that LeBron never plays with his kid.
Okay, I'm in on that.
Okay.
Check the tape.
Right. We'll have to
dust off. We need to write this sort of stuff down.
We'll have to dust off the archives here. So.
But, all right, what else? Well, that's it?
Well, the Cavs. I mean, is this
fixable? Are you ready to leave? You can leave.
No.
is this fixable? I mean,
is it fixable? Yeah, because it's a LeBron. I think they're going to make a move before the trade deadline.
What happens with Love? Like, is he?
He's a scapegoat. He's been a professional scapegoat. I think.
Yeah. Well, why though? But, I mean, he's a good player. It shouldn't all be his fault.
But is he?
Right?
This is my ignorance here. Is he like untradeable? Going on with his contract? No.
I think they can trade him.
So why wouldn't he get traded?
They're probably planting the seed to management saying, trade Kevin Love. that's probably what
they're
saying.
Well, that's all LeBron. I mean, LeBron's the GM, the coach. He's everything there. Right. So if LeBron wants him gone, he'll be gone.
Right. And do they go after like a DeAndre Jordan, someone that would help him defensively and be a center for him?
I don't really like that. I don't like DeAndre Jordan going.
But the question is, are the Cavs willing to give up their pick that they acquired, their high pick from Brooklyn?
But now the pick doesn't look like it's going to be that good, because Brooklyn isn't as bad as everybody thought.
True. It might not be as high as people think. It could be, but it might not be. And also, if you're the Cavs and don't have a commitment from LeBron beyond this season, are you willing to give up that pick? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem. And most teams, to get a good piece, they're going to have to involve that pick in the trade. And are the Cavs willing to do that, not having a commitment from LeBron? So everyone likes to play like none of this is LeBron's fault. But I look at it like you do. It's all his fault. I mean, all of this could be cleared up easily with him committing or just not doing stuff like this. And
what I don't understand is why he wants to play this game of chicken every year. I just don't get that. And where else would he want to go? I mean, Cleveland, he's a king. I mean, no pun intended. Right. He's in Cleveland. He owns that city. I understand he got him a title. What does he want
to
do?
Hashtag young king.
Hashtag young king. There's really
the kid from Akron.
There aren't many other places he can go and win. And you know he's going to want to win. He can't go to Boston because Kyrie specifically went there to get away from him. Where does he go out west?
Washington.
Even if he goes to Houston, is Houston better than the Warriors with LeBron?
He's an injury waiting to happen. Like the guy's, if he goes, if he hangs his hat on Chris Paul being able to play, I don't think that's going to be.
How's that going to work with James Harden too? You have three like ball dominant players on one team. I mean, there's one basketball.
I think he goes to Golden State.
Chris Paul's too busy looking for secret pathways into other people's locker rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't gotten into that.
That's a joke.
We can go into that.
That's a joke. I think that's something needs to be done. And then who got suspended? Like all the bench players, but nobody who mattered actually got like a significant amount of suspension.
There's nothing that actually ever happened, though. I mean,
it was childish.
Yes, but nothing. Yes, but nothing actually happened. So maybe that's why the punishments weren't what they might have been otherwise. So
if I was LeBron, I'd go to Milwaukee. I'd coach the team because they don't need a coach. I can't say his name.
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis. You call him. Yeah.
Greek freak.
I'd be like, here, buddy, and I'd play 30 minutes a game, and I'd win a title.
Who else plays for the Bucks?
The Bucks are looking. They just fired their coach for some reason. That's why I'm saying.
Does Ricky Rubio play for them?
No, he plays for the Jets.
Yeah.
Who else plays for the Bucks? Seriously,
Michael Redd.
Malcolm Brogdon, the Virginia kid.
Joe Alexander, is he still on the Bucks?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with the Cavs. I think they can write it. I don't know that. I'm the one who sat here and said I think Boston were coming out of the East, so I can't stick up for him. I think. How about the Wizards? We're talking about basketball. The Wizards hold a team meeting, and they all come out hating each other more.
Did you see? Yeah, what happened the other day?
How great is that?
Did you hear that apparently J.J. Barea, did you hear about this?
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
J.J. Barea he and John Wall were talking trash. John Wall called him like a midget or something like that. And so Barea shot back in the press and said, I don't, whatever. His teammates hate him. Like he basically said that Wall's teammates obviously hate him.
I believe that.
So
I believe
that. Only the Wizards could have a team meeting and like have everyone hurt feelings. I mean, they're supposed to be like honest, like constructive events. Only the Wizards could come out of it with everyone having their feelings hurt. So
this is a team that Gilbert Arenas once pulled out a bunch of guns in the locker room. Lucky that didn't happen. I
know. That alone tells you the Wizards will never win anything with this current crew as constructed. I mean, they're just the Wizards. It's like the Browns are the Browns in football. The Wizards are the Wizards in basketball.
I think you're right. So. I think that's right. That's true.
How about Kawhi Leonard wanting out? Did you hear those reports? I thought that was
pretty surprising. Yeah, I mean, he's saying something's wrong, and the Spurs are saying, no, nothing's wrong.
He basically is saying that like no, he can't attract any free agents to San Antonio or something like that. Isn't that one of his gripes?
I mean, the team is basically accusing him of lying. I mean, more or less. Mm-hmm. They're saying nothing is wrong with you. Why aren't you playing? And he's saying, hey, something's up. So Kawhi is he's one of the best players in the league. But
what's wrong with him
this
year? Like, he can't get on the floor.
Right.
It's an Andrew Luck situation where
no one could figure out what. I mean, the team is saying nothing is wrong with him. That's the team's answer. So
I'm just hot take LeBron's not going to the Lakers.
Yeah. I don't think he's leaving Cleveland because I think that is ultimately his best chance to win. I'll
tell you what, if he's not leaving Cleveland, he needs to tell somebody now because he needs to understand. Like, he really is going to listen to me, but he needs to understand.
You don't think LeBron listens to just another sports podcast?
That they have to use this pick. Like, they've got to keep the pick and you know, get some more. Or, like, he's got to help. If he's even leaning slightly toward Cleveland, he has an opportunity to really help out that franchise.
That would make it easier if LeBron would just commit. But he wants to maintain his financial leverage and get his maximum contract.
He doesn't need any more money.
I agree.
I don't know.
Spell some words right.
How are you?
Fuck LeBron.
How are you going to feel about a guy like that who, if he leaves there, goes God knows where, tries to make another run for a few years elsewhere, and then comes back to Cleveland? He would have played for like five teams in his career. Yeah. We're talking about maybe the greatest basketball player of all time, and he was, you know, he hopped around the league. I mean, it's just odd.
No, I know. I agree with you.
So Josh and I were curious, how's your fitness
It's coming along.
Regimen going.
It's coming along.
Does that mean you've done any more workouts?
I've researched it.
Have you watched it without working out? Is that what?
No, I haven't done. I haven't done that.
Are you still recovering from that ab workout a couple weeks
ago? Definitely still recovering from that. I needed to pad it up. But you actually sent us another challenge
today. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I heard about this challenge from a friend of mine, and I was. It piqued my interest.
24 donuts.
It was you use a deck of cards and you assign each suit an exercise and then you just start turning cards over and the number that corresponds, the number that it is and you just do the exercise that corresponds with that suit and the number that's on the card and you try to do that in a certain amount of time and see if you can get through the entire deck. And I thought,
What is like a jack? Is that like 10 or something like
that? Yeah, so it would obviously go 2 to 10, and then jack is 11, queen is 12, a king is 13.
Sexist.
And an ace would be 1. So
an ace is 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would just go through the deck and see if you could.
I think I could
pound it out, man.
I think I could do
depending on the exercises.
Hour? Yeah, I mean.
You think you could do it in an hour? See, I was going to suggest that I could do it in a half hour.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well,
how many cards are there? 52?
52.
I'd be willing to try a half hour. I don't know if I could do a half hour, but I'd be willing to try it.
You'd have to.
I mean, push-ups.
Okay, so my buddy Dave, who I've been friends with forever, is a personal trainer. And
shouts to Dave.
Yeah, my boy.
Hook up Colin with really Dave and his regimen there.
He lives in North Carolina, so
I can do that commute.
He could do some consulting work over the phone.
I said push-ups, crunches, body squats, and I was stuck on what the fourth one would be. And he said, "Don't do crunches. Do I can't remember what he said.
Push-ups, pull-ups.
What about like a plank? Like hold
plank, knee to elbow.
Yeah."
Okay, so plank need to, you don't know you wouldn't a plank would not be involved in this because that's static. You're just just holding the position. So you would do push-ups. You would do plank knee to elbow. You would do body weight crunches or body weight squats, and then you would do burpees.
Oh God.
Which are hell.
Burpees would be burpees would be tough. Yeah. Especially when you get like a
half hour. I think I could do it.
Okay. So why don't you tell us about it next week?
You want me to try that?
Yeah.
Why would I try it without? Come on, I was hoping when you guys would like, make a wager.
We can all film ourselves so we can watch each other.
I'm definitely willing to try it.
I'll do it. I'll try it.
I do push-ups and stuff.
There's no way you're going to try this. So. You won't even try.
I am. It's been very 21 busy.
21-day fix.
I'm going to do this. I am. So we'll all try it for next week?
We're
going to
try this for next week.
2 weeks?
Sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Let's say.
We're all going to do it independently. I thought the point was to do it.
We're still working on a Madden date. We can't.
Yeah, I mean, we can't.
Wow, true.
With our schedules.
Speaking of that, have you played Madden?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I'm discouraged by it because I fell so deeply in love with this year's Vikings team that I go on that game, and it's the 2016 team. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback, and Laquon Treadwell's a starting wide receiver, and I couldn't figure out how to change the lineup. I sat there for like 20 minutes trying to change Laquon Treadwell. Like
Does it have to be the current roster, though? You can't just enjoy the game playing with
– No, I mean, it was weird because, like, T.J. Clemmings is on the offensive line, for God's sakes. Like, right.
There can't be a single other person who plays Madden who won't play it because somebody on the offensive line – let alone
right. I mean, just
it's 16 minutes
or play with some other team. It doesn't have to be the Vikings.
Yeah, I just haven't. Yeah, I don't know. It takes, like I told you, it just takes too long to like fire the thing up and get the game set up. And I don't have time.
How's your son doing with it?
Use the O's.
He's doing good. He's doing well. He's
the Lightning.
He's got his little Lego games and stuff. He plays with that.
Right. Well, do you have to really monitor the time consumption?
Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty good about listening to us when we tell him to get the hell off the thing. And he doesn't spend much
tease for Josh's column this week in Sunday's newspaper. He talks about yelling at his kid.
I do.
All the time.
Yeah.
All
right.
So,
well, what are we looking forward to, gentlemen, this week?
It's always me who goes first, right?
Yeah, you sure.
Not that I wanted to.
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
I'm looking forward to not watching any sports and being anxious this weekend. Like, I don't have to worry about, my team playing in a high-stakes playoff game or even in a high-stakes regular season game that's going to determine their playoffs.
It's like my Browns answer when they had a bye.
I can exhale.
I'm not watching the Browns this week.
Like, I can exhale. And I'm just going to – I mean, I'll watch some NBA, I think. Maybe – it's not that I won't watch sports. It's I'll be glad that I don't have to, like, sit there on pins and needles on Sunday.
You're not going
to
be anxious for the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, no. Will you watch the Pro Bowl?
No.
Oh, we didn't talk about this. How much time have we gone here? I don't want to go too
far
over.
We're long, but go ahead.
50 minutes or so? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you watch the Pro Bowl? Like, this brings up the point that I brought up in our text chain. Who watches the Winter Olympics?
Oh, yeah, that was going to be
it. Wasn't That wasn't box. The question. The question was, who cares about the Winter Olympics?
And I answered it, women.
Women do. Yeah. True. My question to you is, will you watch the Winter Olympics?
No.
I will watch the hockey. I enjoy the hockey.
The hockey's fun.
The men's hockey tournament.
Everybody always falls in love with curling for whatever reason every year. Here's the thing about the Olympics that I think speaks to you. You have a traditional cable television package, right? Greg, you as well?
Yes, yeah.
So it is one of those things that you can have on every hour of every day for as long as it occurs. And you just have it on the background. And it kind of switches things up.
And that's what I do.
Yeah. Instead of looking at Dr. Phil, you see the luge. And it's really, you kind of get attached in that way.
If you want to be an Olympic athlete, you got to get into shape.
You better get in shape. I did mention Dr. Phil in my column, this week.
I haven't had traditional cable television in decades, it feels.
If you're fat, you need to exercise.
Yeah. Right, Collins?
Yeah. So television is not something that I have on. So I probably won't watch it then. And the time difference is killer.
I didn't even – yeah, I haven't taken that into consideration. But I'm one of these people who and I don't have a lot of nights off. I'm always here.
But this is going to be one of those Olympics, the time difference, where you will know the results before you see it.
Okay, well, I'm not going to look those up. Like,
run the sports.
Day off or something. Like, I don't care that much about it. I'm not going to be like, I need to find out who won the men's, luge or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I will turn it on, and it's one of these things – that because I am a sappy guy, I get into the storylines. Like, if I turn it on, if I turn on NBC and I see some, you know, touching little profile on whoever, I'm going to watch. Like, I get sucked into it.
3.5 minutes of Tom Rinaldi.
Right.
And that's it.
If you want to get emotional,
you need to watch the Olympics.
You need to watch these features, Olympic features.
And I get sucked into it. I get interested in, like, just the daring do of some of these events, like the downhill, especially something like that.
It's Josh's female side coming out in him.
I've always been in touch with my feminine side, if you know me.
His sensitive side, we'll call it.
And I'm not kidding you. I will watch the figure skating and be enthralled by that, too. So say what you want to about me.
Have you seen I, Tonya?
I have not. I do want to see that.
I saw that over the
weekend. You saw that?
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
What's your review?
It's good. It's
how many footballs?
Okay. Greg hands out 5-star reviews like they're they're candy on Halloween.
1994, you were how old?
10.
Okay. What do you remember about that?
I remember. So I went to see the movie with somebody, obviously, and she had followed this intently.
Right. As did I.
So she really, this was the thing, this was the movie she wanted to see the most. And we actually had this conversation on our way home. I also just recently watched for the first time the 30 for 30 on Tonya Harding. Did you watch that,
yes,
Josh?
Yes.
So I'm just kind of done with the story. And I get it. Tonya Harding had a tough life. And yeah, maybe she wasn't all to blame, and the dude she was with was a real piece of work. And it was
Jeff Galooly,
and Sean Eckert in the movie's great. That's some unknown actor. But, you know, I understand it. And Nancy Kerrigan, you know, was not a rootable person. Like, I know that whole dynamic as well.
And Nancy Kerrigan hasn't seen the movie. Yeah, and so I don't blame her. So she claims.
I don't blame her for not seeing it. They really underline the point that she pouted that she won second in that Olympics.
Absolutely, like, she did, yeah.
And I get all that. I'm just, you know, I'm not as sucked in as the person I saw it with, and probably as you are, Josh.
I don't know that. I mean, I guess I want to see it.
Margot Robbie's great.
Because I do remember following that so closely, being enthralled by that, and largely because I thought Nancy Kerrigan was incredibly attractive back then. I was a teenage boy, so I was like, oh, man, she's beautiful. And this whole thing was it's the craziest scandal in sports history. It's up there. Well, name another one that's crazier than that.
The Black Sox?
The Black Sox.
The Black Sox? That's good. How about the Miami Dolphins coach? Remember that? Remember that?
I just clicked with me.
That was like 2 months ago.
It's one of the craziest scandals of all time.
Yeah.
But I want to see that. But I'm with you. I understand why people have fatigue over that storyline too. And I kind of was like, why is this happening now? Like, why are they bringing this out now? They had the 30 for 30.
It's going into the Winter Olympics.
Right.
They wanted to do it in a Winter Olympic year. But when people started thinking about it.
Tonya Harding, my question was, why is she doing interviews? Just shut up. Oh, like, you've said everything you need to say about this,
but
right?
That's not going to happen. She went to box, if you don't.
But after the 30 for 30 thing, I think it should have been done.
Yeah.
She should have said, you know what? I did that documentary. I said everything I needed to say. I'm done.
Well, she didn't have anything to do with this movie.
No, I know she didn't, but she's still been doing like interviews and stuff. Her face has been all over the place again.
If you want to stay in the public spotlight.
Yeah, okay. That's my point. Like, Dr. Phil,
this podcast has gone way too far.
You better do some interviews with ESPN.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm saying. What I'm thinking is, I think at this point, I figured she would want to be away from that storyline and out of the limelight. And she just keeps coming back.
Well, but she'll tell you too that she wants to be away from. That's the thing that annoys me. Like even the ESPN documentary, like it's just like you're a contradiction and you like the attention. I think you should see it though. I think you'll like
it. Okay, maybe she and LeBron have something in common.
That's true.
They like attention. So
what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to the Australian Open men's final and seeing if our boy Josh and
I know
can do it. Number 20, Grand Slam number 20 for Mr. Federer.
He's the Tom Brady.
Yeah, I love him.
The stage is set for him.
He's beautiful.
There's no one. He's in the semis, and there's really no one of close to of. equal accomplishment in his path. So,
what do you think of Nadal coming out? He's been vocal this week about the grind of the tour and
Well, he's also getting
the injuries.
He's also older than 30 now too, so he's a 30 plus guy. I mean, talk about Tom Brady playing into his 40s. I mean, tennis players
they're done at 28.
At this age, you've never seen this before with tennis players where they're playing this late this well into their careers. So I'm looking forward to the Australian Open men's final.
Yeah, we could be in the middle of seeing some of the best ever in their sports. Not some of the best ever.
Right, Federer, yeah.
Brady,
and I wanted to LeBron. Talk to Josh about that on my other podcast, The Final Score.
Fine, so, I won't come on then.
Right, we're gonna kick you out.
You wanted to leave this podcast like 20 minutes ago.
Right, and what are you looking forward to,
I'm Colin? Looking for, well, the sports answer is Maryland hosts Michigan State. And Maryland's reeling. They need a victory. They have not had a good – we didn't even get a chance to talk about this because we had texted a little about it last week. They're not looking good. They need a big win. This could be a big win. It's at home. It's on a Saturday. I think it's Saturday, so I'm looking
– You guys had high praise for Kevin Herter, though.
Yeah, Kevin Herter is
– I'm a fan.
Yeah. He's pretty much all they got at this point.
Cowan's not bad, yeah. but you're right.
They're not going to make the tournament. I mean, losing to Indiana, I mean, they're not going to make the tournament.
If they beat Michigan State, get on a
That's
nice
the thing.
Run.
But like, what are the chances they beat Michigan State, though?
Why not? Why not?
They could still – I think they're going to have to go on a run, and it's going to – and yeah. They're going to have to get some wins in some tough places, and they could do it.
Yeah.
They're in a lot of these games.
I love Mark Turgeon.
Yeah.
And I think that he can get it done. But also, and this is the reason why I've been so busy as well, my brother's getting married this weekend.
Whoa.
Didn't know that. So I'm in that, and I actually wanted to get your advice, but we don't have any time. He wanted me to be the best man.
And you said – I said no.
I said, are you sure?
No, so I'm going to do that. So I have to talk. And I'm not sure what to do. And I'm told that I should write something down.
I've been the best.
Greg's your man for this.
Yeah. And
should I write something down? Because I don't want to sound robotic.
I was asked almost a year before the wedding to be the best man. So I was thinking about what I might say. And it just hit me one night. And I went straight to my computer before I lost the thought and started writing it down. And then I rehearsed it over and over and over again until I had it down cold, and I did it at the wedding, and it worked.
I was just gonna riff, and
that's dangerous with you.
I know,
dude.
Why is that dangerous? Well, first of all,
I'm assuming that you will probably be imbibing before the ceremony and probably before the reception, knowing you, and you're gonna riff. Bad idea.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. What's your brother's name?
Corey.
Corey.
I mean,
make sure he writes something down.
I need. Well, yeah.
I think that's what most people do. I think they riff and it comes off as like sort of scattered and stuff like that. But I also hate
the best man speeches that get up there like, remember that time. Switch the page.
Right.
Where we hung out.
You're a writer. You won't do that.
Don't make it too long. Mine wasn't. My speech wasn't.
I gotta get up and get out
from the heart, brother. Yeah. And make it 3 minutes or less. Right.
Okay.
Just say a couple of words, couple of stories, and then you're done. Don't go on and on and on. In first grade we did. Remember when we did? Don't do that.
Well, I don't see. That's the thing. We never really lived together. I don't know him that well.
Okay.
That's the thing about it, and that's what makes it hard. I had this great.
Then just keep it brief. Just brief, simple. I'm happy for you. Remarks.
I had this great opening line. I have to tell you off air, but somebody told me I'm not allowed to say.
So. Will there be a nip slip at the wedding?
there will be no slipping. I'll just go up shirtless.
You know, one of the ultimate burns of my life is.
What's
at
that?
Your wedding?
I have one brother, and I wasn't his best man.
Ooh.
Basically, slap in the face.
Oh.
I've never said that to him, but
I hope he listens.
He was my best man.
I have one brother, and I doubt I would be his best man if he gets married one day.
I'm very nervous about this.
So
just rehearse. No. You're a performer and you're a writer. Come on,
write it down.
This is your wheelhouse, brother.
Now, seriously, like driving to the wedding, I would just launch into my best man speech in the car, just so I had it down cold. So.
And I can record it and just play the recording.
That's what you should do.
That's what I should.
Before you're drunk.
And just move your lips.
Lip sync it.
Lip sync the speech. That's great.
Record it. If you want to be the best man at a wedding,
that would go viral. You know how their stupid wedding videos go viral?
If you want to give a good wedding speech.
I was going to dress up as the Undertaker.
You should. Or
Mr.
Macho,
Perfect.
Or Macho Man Randy Savage.
And I'll get down. I'll be like, that speech was perfect. And then I'll go. Whoop, whoop.
And that ending is perfect, folks. So we'll see you next week. For Josh and Colin, I'm Greg. Thanks for listening to Just Another Sports Podcast.